Deuteronomy chapter 31, picking up in verse 14 today. Moses' birthday. 120 candles on the cake. Hard time blowing it out, but he had some words to say to his people here. People that God put in his life. So we've begun that in chapter 31. Moses saying, I'm 120. And it's hard for me to get out like I used to. But I do have some things to say. Verse 14, we're going to be picking up in that conversation. Moses warning, giving warnings and heedings to obey the word of God. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I might give him charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud. And the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant, which I have made with them. Praise the Lord. God's giving some last words to Moses as he's on this earth, and Moses is going to be giving some last words to his people. He's saying, hey, Moses, in verse 14, the days approach that thou must die. And then he goes on to talk about other things. It's almost casually mentioning that he's going to die and kind of move to the next subject. I would think my attention would be lost at that point. I wouldn't hear the rest of the conversation. I'd be totally consumed by that first thing. I recall the x-ray that I got one time and seeing the worried look on a doctor's face saying, oop. I don't know if that's good bedside manner for a doctor to do that, but obviously something was wrong. A worried look on his face. Oh, we have to take a look at this. This is showing up on the x-ray. I recall a misreading on a heart test, actually, too. And the doctor being very concerned, kind of saying, well, we need to do some more tests. And then you about fall over right then anyway. So you don't hear anything after that. So that long wait that you go through to do the other tests and hear the results. And years ago, these things happened. And I recall telling Gretchen during that waiting period that, hey, you're free when I'm gone. And I'm telling her, all those things that you might think of during those times. It wasn't just some random news that came at me. It trumped everything, right? So all of a sudden that became so important. Life was precious every single minute. I was completely immersed in this new reality in front of me. How could it be so seemingly casual for God to saying, Moses, you're going to die. And by the way, da 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 da. And then some other things. That's all I would hear is the la 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 la. How could it be seemingly so casual? Well, think about it from his perspective. We're just changing an address as far as God is concerned. It's just a change of address. For the Christian, we actually already have that address. It says we're seated in heavenly places in Ephesians. We're simply moving into that place that has been purchased for us by Jesus on the cross. It's moving in day for us. That's what God sees it as. We could put ourselves in Moses' place here, Moses's. And we might interrupt God and say, wait a minute. Let's go back to that death thing. Can we just spend a little time on that small detail there? But to God, it's nothing but a step. It's not an end point, but a step. Think of a snake shedding its skin, a caterpillar molting, a baby leaving the womb and entering into this world. All steps for change. In one sense, though, it's a big deal to God, though, and to us, that what we do in this life matters. That part is definitely significant. It's significant in the sense that what takes place here determines what that next step into eternity holds. Hence the warnings throughout the Word of God. What we do now does determine the next step. Mindy, going through her pregnancy, has to follow certain rules to care for her child in the womb. Why is that? Is it all about the life in the womb? No, there's a greater reality of life outside of the womb, the birth of that child, being born healthy, and looking forward to that day when that baby opens its eyes to a whole new world. I tell you a truth, that it's a small shadow of what it will be for us opening our eyes in the reality of God's kingdom. This existence right now on this earth is a small shadow of what it will be like for us opening our eyes in that reality of God's kingdom. Mindy actually pointed out an interesting fact recently as she goes through these stages and weeks of her pregnancy. One recent one, she mentions that the baby can now sense sunlight coming through her belly. First hearing, and then some sense of vision, a detection of light. All hints of the outside reality, the outside world. Paul describes it as looking through a dark glass. The significance to God is that these people of Moses will be present someday in the kingdom of God. And the preparation now matters. These words that Moses will say matters. He's going to point out the rebellion and the things that will happen. They're coming and going from walking with God and walking away from God. Let's continue to read that in verse 17 through 21. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them. So that they shall say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they have turned unto other gods. Now, therefore, write ye this song for you, and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that flows with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then they will turn to other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. And it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed, their children, for I know their imagination which they go about, even now before I have brought them into the land which I swore. A song. We have billboards and signs that warn us of danger. I work right next to a NYSEG substation, and it's got all kinds of warnings on there. Very high voltage, stay away, keep out. God's going to do that with a song here. He's going to put up some signs, some billboards, that with the intention that it's going to last a long time. We happen to like music, I do anyway, personally, because it's motivating and stimulating. It picks us up. It soothes us, too, in certain times. But more often than not, there's something being conveyed in a song, isn't there? Isn't there usually a purpose for someone writing a song, a message in that song? When I was younger, I had no idea what I was singing, nor did I really care. But now I hear those songs that I used to listen to way back then. And actually, now I listen for what that person was talking about. Listen for that message that's woven in to the fabric of that music. Sometimes a bit shocked at what I used to sing and thought was excellent music, at what they were actually talking about. Or sometimes I'm at a loss why I could be so shallow and not hear that message that was so clear and just be gravitating to the stimulation of the sound. Some of you might recall Kyle from Camp Gregory. He got married last weekend. I was sitting next to Maddie's brother-in-law and was having a conversation about a song that was playing. It was a James Taylor song, actually. And this is bringing me back. I remember this. Remember this song. I love James Taylor. And I said, do you know what it means? Do you know what the song is about? And he says, no. I said, he's singing about his wife that died in a plane crash. Her small plane went right into the Rocky Mountains, and that was it. And he literally, I mean, went from having plans to all of a sudden everything being changed in a second. And he was like, whoa, no way. And all of a sudden, you know, the meaning, not only the grooviness of the song, but all of a sudden now it meant something. So he was pretty taken back by that. Songs can have messages. Moses is going to be given a song by God to convey a message to Israel. Part of that song that James Taylor wrote kind of went like this. Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You've got to help me make a stand. You've got to help me make it through another day. My body's aching and my time is at hand and I won't make it another way, any other way. Oh, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend, but I always thought that I'd see you again, speaking about his wife, Suzanne. Songs are significant and not birthed out of random chance of chemicals, of evolutionary doctrine, but of God and truth. Melodies, the notes, rhythms, mood and meaning, the realities of light and sound are dark shadows of what it will be like in the kingdom of heaven for all of us. The music that we enjoy now and the melodies and rhythms are mere echoes and shadows of how glorious it will be in the kingdom of God. We should not ignore the hint of the things to come. We need to take heed to the light and the sound of his voice to hear the Lord speak to us today. Verses 22 and 23. Moses, therefore, wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, be strong and be of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. Praise you, Lord. Be strong and of good courage. Thank you, Jesus. Why does God repeat that over and over, to be of good courage? Because the fiery darts of the enemy come at us daily. Things will happen that will challenge and test our faith in God on a daily basis. Will we take the pattern, the question is, of the faithful and get closer to God? Or will we turn to something else for answers and for peace? When things that happen that don't make sense necessarily, when we're left with just questions and no answers, when all the wisdom of this world fails and we're offered nothing but the world's answers, maybe a drink or something to become numb with, we need to hear this. We need to hear God speaking this to us, to be bold and to be of good courage as a group, as a body of believers, and also as individuals. We need to hear from God on the matter that has us in confusion and unrest. We need to hear God. Oh, that's for the pastors, that's for the elders to hear from God. That's for the cliquey church group, the Holy Rollers, the Calvary Harvest people. God just speaks to the, you know, those people that are carrying the Bibles around. That's baloney. We're all in this together as people, as human beings. This is for us to hear the things of God. We're all to hear the voice of God, not just rulers or leaders or anything like that. We're to be encouraged. This word is for us to be bold and to be brave and to trust God. That's what bravery is. It's not leaning on your own understanding, but it's trusting in God. What is a Christian? One that has a cross around their neck and a Bible under their arm? Let Jesus tell you, the Christ, tell you what a Christian is. He said, my sheep hear me and follow me. They know my voice. We need to put everything on the line to lose our life and believe in the promise of God that we will find it on the path of faith. We could kind of think of it like this. Trusting in God and hearing his voice. Think of it as a journey down a river, like the outlet, the Owasco outlet. A boat or canoe is set before you, paddles and a life jacket. Some of us will not climb aboard. They can sense the flow of the stream, that there's a direction of right and wrong. There's a flow of morality on this earth. Kind of a sense of right and wrong, but they won't get in that boat. They might try to follow that stream of right and wrong along its banks, and they'll be tangled up in the prickers and stuck in the bogs that are along the way, and sometimes finding themselves going way out of the way and getting lost to try to avoid all the brush and the trouble along the way. But knowing there's a sense of morality, there's a flow of right and wrong that's heading downstream. We are provided a canoe. We're provided a vessel that is Christ. And we're bidden not to just get half in or set our hat in there or set our tackle box or whatever it is, but to fully climb on board, to be passengers on that vessel, to be along there with your brothers and sisters in Christ. The paddles are our strength and unity, all of us working together. That's the unity of the body of Christ. All of us in that vessel, which is Christ, that's carrying us down that flow of morality, because it's He that fulfilled all the law. Amen. Finishing up this chapter. And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. For I know thy rebellion, thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, you have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death? Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and the officers, that I might speak the words in their ears, and call heaven and earth to record against them. Accountability. For I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. And evil will befall you in the latter days, because you do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. So the song's going to begin in the next chapter here. But he's prepping them in this sense. He's saying, you're accountable to what you hear. I'm going to give you the song, I'm going to give you the words of God, but you're accountable to it. It's something that's going to be brought back to memory as you're rebelling against them. It's prophesied they're going to rebel, and God is equipping them with his word so they can find themselves in that place and turn to him. That's the purpose. We are responsible for the words we hear, the words of God that we hear. That canoe that is set before us, the gospel that is presented to us. Not waiting like some people are for some visit of a glowing orb in our room some night where God appears in this kind of light or whatever, and then we'll follow him. We're responsible that God is revealing himself to us right this minute, this second, through his word. We're accountable to it. Will we fall? Will we stumble? Will we sin? Yes, me included. Raise both hands. Then the word of God will be there for our strength to help us rise up, be bold, to continue on, climb back in the boat. Being a Christian, of course, is more personal than walking behind someone. We get the idea of following Jesus Christ, and that is a good vision. But it's climbing on board with our whole body. This is our visitation of God when we open up the Word of God. Our visitation, Him speaking to us. This is a brush with the divine. This is Him reaching to you. Your hearing of the words of God are more than the mechanics of language and books and words, but God's revelation, Him presenting Himself to you and saying, I love you. Climb aboard. Your life depends upon it. Oh, what a mystery the gospel is. How rich it is. What an incredible thing. Yet so simple as to say, climb in at the same time. It's so simple. Let go of the shore. Let go of that tree you're hugging on to. The cares of the world, all that goes with it, and sail off with God. Full on with him. God has been speaking that to me. I mean, from men's study on through prayer meeting, it's been all that through this week to fully climb on board and get that message out. To wake up and get on the boat. Leave go of the shore. Climb aboard. Stop messing and playing footsie with the world. Get on board and sail off with God. But I got to hold on to this. Forget it. He's equipped us. He's got paddles. He's got life jackets. He's got brothers, sisters on board. Get on board. There's work for us to be done in this community. There's work to be done in our families. When negativity and doubt come, which they will, you guys are superheroes of the faith, raising up your shields, drawing swords. Supernatural things happen with the Word of God. Faith is produced. Faith is produced. We're not just at the whim of the breeze of the world. We stand up to those things that come against us. We're conquerors. We're conquerors in Christ Jesus. The Bible is filled with these things that enrich us and tell us to be bold, to be brave. We can trust in that vessel that God has placed us in and continue sailing upon it. There will be dangers ahead. But when negativity and doubt come, raise up those shields of faith. We're building that faith now by being in His Word. This song is going to contain words of faith. Verses 1 through 43 of the next chapter are the words of this song. It's referred to as the Song of Moses. If you can imagine old Moses at 120 singing, there it is. Well, it's his birthday. He can sing if he wants to. As you hear the song, maybe you can think of an alternative title. And so I give you that as a task as we go through that song. We'll at least get it started today. In verse 1 of chapter 32, verses 1 and 2. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. I'm not going to sing it, but you can imagine Moses singing at this time. I don't have the notes. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Give ear. Listen up. I will speak. Something's coming out. What if you had the whole world's attention? Every man, woman, and child staring at you. You've not been given just a microphone, but an earthophone, a portal to talk to the whole world. And all of a sudden, everybody can see your face through this magic thing, whatever it is. An earthophone. Everyone could even hear you in their own language. What would you say?
Don't pick on me this morning. Oh, don't pick on me. Don't pick on me.
Where are you going when you die?
Oh, good one. Good one. Oh, no. Perfect. All right.
All right, Moses. Moses given that portal to speak to the generations. In fact, it's still going on. I'm reading it this morning. He's still singing. Even Moses is still singing to us. Kind of creepy, huh? It's still happening. The Word of God is still going out. The whole world has that attention. What would you say if you had such an opportunity? Let's read what Moses had to say. What God had put on his heart. In verses 3 through 5, because I will publish or proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe ye the greatness unto our God. He is the rock. He is the rock. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment or justice, a good God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. Didn't come from God. They are a perverse and crooked generation. So he begins to proclaim through that portal to the whole world, different languages even. He didn't say it in English, he said it in Hebrew, and here it is going out this morning in different languages. Awesome. His topic is not going to be economics or healthcare or the sports report. The camel race in southern Judah was awesome today. The turnout was fantastic. No, that's not what he does. He's going to publish the name of the Lord. What would we do given that opportunity? Sure, give me that portal. Man, I've got something to say. Boy, I've got something to say. What would it be? What would be your objective? Would it be as Moses, ascribing the greatness of God, giving glory to God? That's our greatest privilege as human beings. We are blessed with many great things on this earth, get this life that God has given us. Marriage, parenting, ministry, working, just joy, fun, music we talked about a minute ago. None of these things can match our greatest privilege. In fact, all of those things become that white fuzzy noise that you see on the old TV screens. They still play it once in a while. The pshhh, looks like a snowstorm on the TV screen. All those things become that if we don't do this, glorify God. In fact, as God is flipping through the channels of humanity, click, 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 as he's flipping through the channels of humanity, he's seeing white noise, because all of humanity, in a large sense, is going that broad way, ignoring God, living a self-centered life, and it's just noise, no matter what they do. You can have a really busy life, man, just busy, 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 busy. Click, click. Whoa, here's somebody that has given glory to God, whose life is glorifying God, who is displaying the love of God, the reason and purpose of their own creation. That tunes in real clear. And that's what Moses is doing this morning, glorifying God. He's ascribing greatness to God in verse 3. Our greatest privilege as human beings. 2 Chronicles 16:9 talks about God flipping through those channels. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, click, 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 to show himself strong in the behalf of them that whose heart is perfect towards him. Click, 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 boom. Click, 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 boom. Those people whose heart is perfect toward him. What else will Moses say in the song? How great Moses is? Do you know what the perfect hell would be? Perfect hell. Perfect in that it would be the ultimate torture, in my opinion. In fact, this would be a great spooky Halloween display. Someone that loves to talk about themselves and how wonderful they are. What their opinion is on everything. That would, to me, be a perfect hell. I'm gnashing my teeth just thinking about it. Verse 4 talks about God giving glory to him that he is perfection. He is truth. He is just. He is without iniquity. No sin in him. He is a rock. He's a rock. Moses talks about him as a rock. He talks about God's greatness, and he describes him as being a rock. The rock. God. I think it's cool when someone has their grandparents' Bible. You know, this is my grandpa that gave me this. They have the Word of God being passed on. This rock is our foundation for understanding who we are, what we are doing on this earth, and what life is all about. It's the way, the truth, and the life. The other choice is confusion, lies, and darkness. We get to choose one. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's on our window, but is it your reality? Is it on the window of your soul? Is it on your display of your life that Jesus Christ is the way, truth, and life? Is it something you display? Let's finish up by looking at the Beatitudes today, and we'll continue with Moses' song next week. Turn with me to Matthew 5, please. This rock. Moses is describing the greatness of God and talking about him as a rock. And seeing the multitudes, Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, when I just see those words, Jesus opening his mouth. You know how you got a water bottle? You got a water bottle in here? Cool. On that water bottle, it'll tell you what the source of that water is. It came from Arizona Springs. It came from Batavia. It came from this municipality or whatever it was, filtered three times. It tells you the source of the water. When I hear that, when I read that in the Bible today, Jesus opening his mouth, that's the source of all truth. That's the headwaters of truth. It's like the headwaters of Niagara Falls are what? Lake Erie. You know, you trace back truth. You find Jesus Christ. He opened his mouth. There's the headwaters of truth. The rock. The foundation for us to build our lives. This rock helps me build things upon because it's solid. Jesus would compare the opposite to sand. Something you just can't seem to get a grip on. It eludes you. You keep trying to think you got it. The rock. It's solid. You can build your life on it. You can build your life on the words of Christ. Let's do that. Let's read the Beatitudes this morning. Close up in strength this morning. Who's got a? Who can volunteer to read verses 3 and 4? Cassandra. Five and six. Raise your hand. John.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Seven and eight. Maddie.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Nine and ten. Patty.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
And 11 and 12. Crouch.
Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
Right after the sermon, which goes on right through chapter 5, there's quite a bit more to it. Those are the Beatitude parts of it. Jesus would talk about building your life upon these words. We're building upon the sand. So the question this morning, what is your life built upon? No, not what your neighbor, not, come on, stop doing that. Not what that guy's life is built upon. Will you look at your own life for 1 second? What is your life built upon? Well, Dad's, no, forget about what Dad said. Answer between you and God. You need to stand upon your own faith with God. Stand before God. On your own 2 feet before Him. What is your life built upon? Is it built upon the Word of God, or is it built on the sands of your opinions? A popular thing to do when someone's life is celebrated, sometimes you'll see this at a graduation, a wedding, or even a funeral, is to set up a collage of pictures. What does yours look like in heaven? Well, I'm a sum of all the things that happened to me. This happened to me, and that happened to me, and this is what I am. I'm a train wreck. What's up with that? Do you mean you do not know who you are and what you're doing? You're just a lump of clay shaped by the things that happened to you in this life? Well, I'd answer to you that you're correct. You are a lump of clay in that sense. I am a lump of clay too. But there is more than just what happens to us in this life that determines our shape. kind of like a lump of clay thrown in a clothes dryer bouncing around. That's not what it's about. There is a master potter. The one who created the lump of clay to begin with is not done with it yet. It's not the intention of God for you to be bounced around in some purposeless shape. He has something in mind for each one of us. A vessel, I can tell you what it is in this sense. A vessel to which he can pour himself into. A vessel of his spirit. Start with that. Let your mind be blown by that. That God who created this whole universe wants to shape you into this fine, beautiful pottery, an earthen vessel, and pour himself into it. It might be filled with cracks and everything of our earthen existence, but his light will even shine through that. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. And we will stop there today. Let's put ourselves before God this morning and ask him to just fill us with his presence right now. Thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for the song that has reached so far into the depths of humanity through thousands of years, into the ears of the hearers today, Lord God. It still rings true. That if we are given the opportunity, what would we say? We would declare you, Lord God. Because our life, that's what it's about. Make that the reality of our life, Lord Jesus. If it's not someone's reality this morning, pray with me right now. Father God, I've been walking on the shoreline. I know right from wrong, but I've been kind of just wandering around on the shoreline, stuck in prickers, going backwards sometimes. I want to get on the boat right now with you, Lord God. Call me in, Lord God. I say yes. I say yes with my whole body, Lord Jesus. I'm leaving everything behind. I'm climbing on board with you. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you provided that vessel by dying on the cross, Lord God. You provided the vessel for me to be saved upon, to be rescued, Lord God, to float above it all, Lord Jesus. I accept what you did on the cross for me. I want to live my life for you now, Lord God. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your word. Teach me, Lord God. Speak to me truth. Thank you, Jesus, for being here with us today. Thank you for the ministry of the body of Christ. And I pray that you just be with us in fellowship this afternoon. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.